Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. Today's is called Today's Hitlers. What we should not be surprised about is history repeating itself, especially as is predicted in Scripture. Now, during the days of Hitler, Nazis went after Jewish people in numerous ways. If they weren't trying to kill them outright, they would harass them publicly, even to the point of not allowing them to enter the premises of colleges where they matriculated, such as the case at Columbia and even Harvard and Yale today, where Palestinians, quote-unquote, actually Nazis, attempt to block Jews from being physically on campus. This prompted one Jewish rabbi to warn students to leave and, quote, return home, unquote, while violence against Jewish students increases. There are massively planned sit-ins from different college campuses by students who support the Palestinian cause in the Middle East. And it simply does not matter, rape, torture, set on fire, shot, etc., what Hamas did to innocent, unarmed Jews on October 7th of last year. This is nothing short of satanic hatred for God and his will. Hitler would be proud. Now, in the transcript, I've included a photo from 1938 at the University of Vienna, Austria, where Nazis were literally blocking Jews from entering that university. Most of the world then looked away and did nothing as this type of harassment continued, ultimately including the mass executions of Jews who did nothing except to be born as Jews. For that quote-unquote crime under Hitler, they were deemed non-essential in his attempts to rid the world of people he considered vermin. Well, sadly, I continue to see this type of virulent anti-Semitism on social media like Gab and others. It is astounding what some people say about Jewish people. In fact, I believe due to the explosion and constant use of social media, society has become desensitized to actual social decorum. People say whatever they think with no filter used because they simply can. It is impossible to know whether these people are simply trolls to stir up the pot or if that's what they truly believe. More and more are being outed as frauds, but how many more are they? Of course, economically, this type of harassment against Jews that extends to things like boycott Israel and boycott Jews, the movement there, because if someone can make money from someone else's misery, they will. The world is, again, not only turning its collective backs on Jews, but determining to harass Jewish people at every turn and in every corner. It will worsen significantly during the tribulation period, and especially during the second half, where Jewish people will become the target of Antichrist's livid hatred. Now, I find it fascinating that during the coming tribulation period, people will be judged on how they treated Jesus' brothers during that terrible seven-year period, Matthew 25, 31 to 36. Often it's referred to as the sheep and the goats. This refers mainly to the way people will treat Jewish people during this coming hellish time. Only authentic Christians will go out of their way to help Jewish people during that time, just as Christians helped Jewish people during the time of Hitler. In other words, only real, authentic believers will put their own lives on the line for Jewish people, as they've done since the Exodus, when Pharaoh ordered the midwives to kill Hebrew boys born into Hebrew families. Those midwives feared God rather than Pharaoh, Exodus 1:15. Now, what seriously troubles me is when I hear Christians essentially doing the same thing. They apparently don't realize that hating Israel and Jewish people is anathema to God for several reasons. In fact, the Apostle Paul spends a good amount of time on this particular subject in Romans chapter 11. There in verses 11 through 15, he says this, "I say then, Have they stumbled? They, meaning Israel. Have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their, Israel's, fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for Gentiles, how much more their fullness? It's an important question. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Well, here it becomes very clear, or should, that if not for the fact that Israel's failure to be obedient and faithful to God and not reject God in Christ, salvation would never have been directly offered to Gentiles. In verse 11, the they, as I mentioned, is referencing Israel and Jewish people. They stumbled, but not as though to fall permanently. And as Paul further explains, Israel's stumbling was for salvation to be offered directly to Gentiles. Why? To provoke Jews to jealousy as much as to grant salvation to individual Gentiles who would come to believe God in faith. Had Israel never stumbled, the world would have only been offered salvation through the nation of Israel. In essence, we would have become proselytes or part of Israel in order to gain salvation. But since Israel's religious leaders at the time rejected Jesus and demanded his crucifixion, and therefore they rejected God and his salvation, God simply rerouted his offer of salvation going directly to the Gentile nations. It is interesting today that when a Jewish person receives salvation from Jesus, they actually become part of the church while still maintaining ties with Israel. When Gentiles become Christians, they're only marginally connected with Israel by being grafted into that Jewish vine for salvation. Paul also states that one of the goals of his ministry to the Gentiles was to, quote, provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them, unquote. That's verse 14. People who hate Jewish people today, including those who profess to be Christians, are so errant in their understanding that it is difficult to believe they could actually be Christians. Their theology is so far off that guides their thinking. In life, we meet all sorts of people from many different backgrounds, including Jewish people. There are some Jews I cannot personally appreciate, nor do I agree with at all. Like, for instance, George Soros, a Holocaust survivor himself. Yet, quote, at a YIVO dinner 20 years ago while presenting an award to a Holocaust survivor, Soros took the time to remark that Jews had gone from victims during the Holocaust to perpetrators in their treatment of the Palestinians, unquote. Well, all I can say is we can and should pray for his salvation. The man is completely blind. He is thoroughly warped in believing that the quote-unquote Palestinians have a right to the land they claim, but he is certainly in favor of it and pushes for it. This type of sentiment and belief creates the type of angst that Soros loves to see, where Arabs and other Gentiles, with the inclusion of many far-left Jews, actually turn against Israel, supporting a group of people that are not actually a cultural group of people, that is, Palestinians. If Soros' eyes are not open to the truth before he leaves this life, he will be in for an exceedingly great shock as he comes face to face with the God of the Bible, whom he has consistently rejected. Quote, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. Yet it should make perfect sense to us that Satan would do as much as he could to actually turn Jews against God and against Israel. This to Satan is proof that his way is better. And if nothing else, he places targets on the backs of Jewish people by doing so. Satan has deceived people like Soros atheistic to the end, who have come to believe that today's nation of Israel is simply an accident in history that should be corrected. Now Isaiah 8:14 tells us that God will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is God's position against Israel and that nation's continued rebellion against God and His commandments. In essence, because of Israel's continued stiff-necked nature, God will come against them as a stone of stumbling. But beyond this, the prophet Zechariah tells us, quote, "On that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and all the nations of the earth will gather against it," unquote. That's Zechariah 12:3. This is becoming reality as it leads up to that point when every nation stands against Israel. More and more protests against Israel are occurring throughout the world, especially on these quote-unquote woke college campuses. Now, recently, many nations, including the Ukraine and the USA, signed a statement condemning Israel's supposed escalation of the war in the Middle East. I don't see anyone doing the same where Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Syria, and elsewhere are concerned. Throughout the Middle East, these terrorists and their proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, do whatever they can to attack and try to destroy Israel. The UN sits back, as though they're blind to all of it, deliberately so, but let Israel rise to her own defense and the same UN bursts a blood vessel or two. My point is really simple. God wants us, authentic Christians, to understand that regardless of what we may think of individual Jewish people or whether or not we support Israel's ability to defend itself, the nation of Israel is the nation that God created and raised up in order that He would bring the Messiah, Savior, into this world. If not for Israel, would Jesus have even ever been born as a man? God's plan was to create a nation that would literally be a light to the world, a nation where God could work to reach all of humanity, all of humanity. Is Israel perfect? No, absolutely not. And in fact, most of Israel, including her leaders, are completely blind still to the truth of what God has done and continues to do with Israel. This blindness, as Paul says, is temporary in order to bring in the full number of Gentiles. But God has not completely forsaken Israel or forever. Paul says in Romans 11, 1-2, "I say then, has God cast away His people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast His people whom He foreknew," unquote. Well, as I said, though, when a Jewish person comes to faith in Jesus, they currently become part of the church now, yet retain ties with their nation Israel. They do not cease to be Jewish, nor do they cease to be part of the nation of Israel. The entire 11th chapter of Romans is a treatise on the reality of what Israel is today versus what Israel will be during the coming millennial kingdom. It will be at that time that the nation of Israel will completely fulfill all of God's promises, embracing all of them, all that were originally made to Abraham and throughout the Old Testament and the Hebrew Scriptures. This is what is so annoying about replacement theology and or an allegorical approach to Scripture, so that it says something it doesn't. Replacement theologians believe that the church has completely replaced Israel, and there's nothing for Israel that God will yet do. And the only way a person can arrive to this conclusion is by relying on allegory of Scriptures, so that it seems to say something it does not. It is also this false theology that gives rise to blatant anti-Semitism. It is the same anti-Semitism that was evidenced in people like Martin Luther of the Reformation, who came to particularly hate Jewish people because of their consistent and constant rejection and even hatred of Christianity and Jesus Himself. Luther failed to realize that Jewish people did so largely due to the fact that God specifically blinded them to offer salvation directly to Gentiles. That was part of the purpose. Once the church is removed from the earth prior to the coming tribulation, things will tend to revert back to a more Old Testament approach to things. People saved during the tribulation will not become part of the church because the church will be gone. They will be believers, yes, but not part of the church. Those believers who die through natural death or martyrdom during the coming tribulation period will be resurrected when Jesus physically returns to this earth. Revelation 20:4-6. This is exactly when saints from the Old Testament will be resurrected as well. The rapture is for all Christians currently, those who died before the rapture occurs and those who are taken in the rapture. And it is a resurrection of sorts that will occur at that time. And the destination, though, for all believers is the same. So, fellow Christians, we need to check our attitudes towards Jewish people in Israel. Only if we fully understand why Israel remains so important to God will we begin to understand that Jews are being attacked solely because of Satan's hatred of them and the lies stemming from that hatred. Those who join in with Satan stand against God. Now, I'm not saying we need to be in a position to like every Jew or every Gentile, for that matter, that we hear about or come across or meet. That's not the point. The point is we cannot hate anyone, and we had better understand that if we participate in hatred, God has every right to send serious discipline our way, especially when it comes to Israel and the Jewish people. In the end, it's up to us. But each of us needs to ask ourselves if we are harboring hatred in our hearts for the Jewish people and or the nation of Israel. There are many reasons why, as Paul says, we owe a debt of gratitude to the Jewish people and Israel. Most importantly, it was through the nation of Israel that Jesus was birthed into this world, as I already noted. The God-man, who lived a sinless life and gave himself up to a horrendously, excruciatingly painful death on the cross, though he should not have died, since he personally did not commit any sin. He did that. Died on the cross for the joy set before him, enduring the cross, Hebrews 12:2, because of what he knew he would accomplish for the world and for those who would exercise faith in him. Now, if you have nothing else to be thankful for, be thankful that Israel completed the goal of bringing forth a Messiah Savior so that you might have salvation. Beyond this, there are other reasons for which we should be thankful. Israel preserved the Bible for us, including the New Testament. Israel gave us the wonderful principles of salvation. And there is a Jewish heritage to an extent through adoption. There are more, but God created Israel just as he created Jewish people through Adam and Isaac. To feel good about hating them proves something is desperately wrong. Yet God will use this hatred that forces Israel and Jewish people to be completely alone as the time of the tribulation approaches. That sense of standing alone will ultimately force them to look up, begin to depend upon the God of Israel, and to ultimately repent, coming before him on bended knee. Finally, understanding that God is for them, but that they must learn to rely completely and solely on him, something Israel has never done before. This, brothers and sisters, is what we need to pray about for Israel and for all Jewish people, even those who were fully deceived by Satan, like George Soros, the fiercest enemy whose abject hatred for them is so palpable and real. He gets that from Satan. Satan will use any means at his disposal to use the hatred of Jewish people in Israel to further his own goals. Let's make sure we are separated from that. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. And I pray that until we meet again, God would open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.